comes from Jeremiah 29. It's a very familiar passage, and I like preaching from familiar passages because we sometimes are tempted to get so used to them that they kind of lose the meaning that they need to have for us and for our lives. Jeremiah 29, from verse 4 to verse 23. But I'm going to read from verse 10 to 14. But the message focuses on that passage, verse 4 to 23. Just to give you a context, God's people are in exile, and they are there not by accident. They are there because the Lord intends them to be there. And while they are asking a lot of questions in this foreign land, false prophets take the opportunity to mislead them, to kind of tell them what they want to hear, telling them that the exile is going to take a short time and very soon the Lord is going to deliver you. And that's what they want to hear. So they are listening to these false prophets. And then the Lord, through his prophet Jeremiah, who is still in Jerusalem, he speaks. I will, for the rest of this month, I will continue to emphasize on hearing what God is saying. The Lord speaks through Jeremiah. And these are his words. And if you found Jeremiah 29, I'm going to ask you, if you can, to please stand up. We are going to read verse 10 to 14, and then we will pray, and you will sit. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This is the word of the Lord. And here at Southside Bible Fellowship, we continue to believe that since the Bible is God's word and that we are God's children, then the Bible is God's word for us. Father, we come before you this morning. We acknowledge your presence here. We thank you, Lord, even for the visitor that has come to worship with us today. You know him better than we do. And we pray that as you minister to us, that you may also minister to him. We pray that your Holy Spirit, who teaches us, may enable us to understand your word and that we may receive your message as a message that comes from you to each one of us. And through it all, Lord, we pray that you may be glorified in Jesus' name. May everyone say, amen, and you may sit. So while God's people are asking questions, while they are asking questions like, why does the Lord allow this to happen to us? You should remember that God is using Babylon here to discipline his people for turning away from him. And if it pleases the Lord for them to stay in captivity, then that's good for his people. Just like you and me. We turned away from the Lord. The Bible says that we are all sinners. We are fallen from the grace of God, from the love of God. We have turned away from God. We've fallen from his glory. We are sinners. It happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord, and that sin has continued to follow every person that is born in this world. And God decided that he wanted to provide a way for us. And he sent his son to die on the cross so that you and I can have forgiveness. The reason that you and I today can claim to be a child of God, if you have believed in Jesus Christ, it is because God provided a way out. It is not because of you being a good person, not because you've done anything good, but because God saw that we had turned away from him. He saw that we were living in a foreign land of sin, and he provided a way out, and everyone that turns to him is forgiven, is saved, receives a new life, and becomes a child of God. Now, God's people are in captivity. They have been taken there by God himself. God has decided that because they have turned away from him, they are going to be in captivity, just so that they may realize that the peace, the joy, the prosperity they were enjoying was not on their own. It was provided by God. And they are crying and questioning and complaining and grumbling. They are in distress. And false prophets are coming up, because they always come up. And they are telling God's people, they are giving them a message that does not come from the Lord. And so God decides to speak to them, to respond to their questions, to answer their questions. And he speaks through his prophet. And the point that God is bringing out to his people is that I know what I am doing. He says he knows what he is doing. One of the passages that we like so much, in verse 11, he says, I know the plans that I have for you. He's telling his people that what is happening to you is not an accident. What is happening to you is what I want to happen. This can be encouraging and discouraging at the same time. It can be encouraging because it reminds God's people that, oh, okay, God is in control. It can be discouraging depending on what you are going through, because you end up asking yourself, yeah, he's in control, but why this and why me? But the truth is, God wants his people to know that when he allows them to be taken to a foreign land, he knows what he's doing. When he allows attacks of various kinds, he knows what he's doing. When he allows death to happen, he knows what he's doing. We just sang a song that said, blessed be the name of the Lord, which I think comes from the book of Job. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. That sounds good when you are singing it, until you find yourself on that spot. But that song expresses, it's one of my favorite songs, by the way, and it does express the attitude that a child of God needs to have when that child of God understands who God is. You give and you take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. You can only have the confidence to say that when you understand that God knows what he's doing when he allows things to happen to his people. So while we may like Jeremiah 29:11, it's good to understand that Jeremiah 29:11 was written to people who are going through a tough time. It was written to people that were asking questions. The same way the disciples were asking questions when Jesus was dying on the cross. They were not able to comprehend what was going on. It felt like the end of their hope when Jesus Christ was dying on the cross. But it was because God knew what he was doing. It took time for the disciples to understand that. It is easier for us because we are looking back. It was hard for those who were there. It was hard for Mary, the mother of Jesus, to see Jesus Christ die on the cross. It was hard for the disciples and all those who followed him. But God knew what he was doing, and I want to tell you that whatever is happening in your life today, God knows what he is doing. It may not make sense to you and me, but if we know this God, then we will also know that he knows what he's doing. God is telling his people what is happening to them may not be the best of their lifetime. It may not be the best thing in their life, but he wants them to be hopeful because he knows what he is doing. The message that I have for you is very simple. God has a plan for us. He has a plan for us. He has a plan for his people. And you and I may not really understand exactly what this plan is. But it's important for us to know that everything that is happening in our lives doesn't stop God from completing what he has started in our lives, because he has a plan. And I will say this, because God has a plan, there is hope for every person that believes in Jesus Christ. There is hope for every believer. There is hope, regardless of what you are going through. Because God has a plan, there is hope for every person that God calls God my Father. But here's another thing. Because God has a plan, there is hope for every sinner. He has a plan to rescue every lost person. And therefore, when you think of that brother or sister of yours, when you think of your son, your grandson, your daughter, your granddaughter, your neighbor, your friend, your whoever you can think of that does not know the Lord, you should still have hope because God has a plan. There is a plan that has been laid out for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ to become a child of God. And because of that, as Christians, we will continue to have hope for this world. That's why we cannot stop sharing the gospel. That's why we cannot stop sharing the good news, because we know that there is hope. The only Christian that will stop sharing the good news is the Christian that doesn't have hope. If you have hope, if you know that there is a plan of salvation that the Lord has provided, if you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross to provide a way for us, if you know that God so loves the world, if you know that God is patient and long-suffering and willing that people should repent and be saved, then you will want to share the gospel. Now that makes you think twice, right? There is hope for every sinner. If you are listening to us, wherever you are, it's important for you to know, if you don't know Jesus Christ, that there is hope for you. Because God loves you and He has provided a way through Jesus Christ. He loves you. He sent His Son to die on the cross so that you can be saved. And you may look at yourself and think, I don't think God pays attention to me. Well, He does. And He has a plan. He has provided it for you. Regardless of where you are coming from, regardless of what has happened in your life, God is willing to receive you, to forgive you, and to make you a new creation. He has a plan to do that. And this God works out His plan through ordinary people like you and me. When you look back in your life, I'm sure you will see that God has been involved, in your life. You look back in your life and you can tell that this was the hand of God guiding me. This must have been God providing for me. This is God who was doing it. I don't know how, but I have seen Him in my life. If you have been a Christian, you have that experience. You have that testimony. One of the things that I hate moving from house to house. My wife knows that. It's because when we were staying with my mother, we were moving a lot. We moved, I don't know how many houses. But there will be time where she couldn't pay rent and we will be evicted. And we would move to another house and then to another house and then to another house and to another house. And one of my prayers when I became a Christian was to build my mom a house so that she can at least be stable for the rest of her life. And if you asked me today, what has been one of my greatest achievements, I will tell you, it is when I built a house for my mom. And when I look back, I see that even when we were moving from one house to another, God was involved. And today, when I look back at my mom, and when I think of where we have been, the only thing I can say is, thank you, God. Thank you, God. That experience has played a big part in my life. It has encouraged me and motivated me to trust in the Lord even more. That when things are not the way I think they should be, it doesn't mean that God has left me. It just means that I may not understand his plan. And God's people are finding themselves in a position like that. They are trying to make sense out of their captivity, and it's not making sense. They are trying to understand, what is God doing in our lives? What is he doing? Why is he allowing this to happen? And it's not making sense to them. And the false prophets are coming up with different messages, and God says, let me tell you something about what is happening in your life, and that is, I have a plan. And because every plan has a purpose, God also has a purpose in this plan. Let me give you three things here. He says in verse 4 to 7, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. To all those I carried to exile. One of the purposes here is that we may know that we are where God wants us to be. God wants his people to know that they are not where they are by accident. They are where they are because God wants them to be there. Now, this is so difficult. I am telling you, this is one of the hardest truths for a Christian to accept. Especially when you are going through a tough time in your life, accepting as a Christian that at this particular moment, through this experience, God wants me to be here, it's one of the toughest truths to accept. It's tough to accept that when they were nailing Jesus on the cross, that at that moment when they were mocking him and spitting on him and nailing him and beating him, that at that moment God wanted him to be there. We will shed tears. Not because God has left us, but because it's part of his plan. It's part of the process. Just because we know that the plan that God has for us is good,
It's a plan of hope and peace. Just because we know that in all things, God works out for good to those who love him, those that have been called according to his purpose. Just because we all know that, it doesn't mean that the process is going to be one that we will like. And you know, when I read scriptures like this, and I can feel pain on my back. And when I read this scripture and I look at my son Wisdom, it's hard. It's hard. And it makes me turn this scripture to a prayer. It makes me turn to God and tell God, help me. Help me to accept this. Help me to understand this. Help me, Lord, to endure this. Help me to glorify you through this experience. It's hard for someone to visit you when you are sick and to tell you, God wants you to be in this experience. And I'm not encouraging anyone to do that. But when you understand that this Father that we believe in, this God that we have come to trust, is fully involved in everything that is happening in our lives, that will begin to change your attitude. It will begin to change your attitude towards the experiences that you face in life. Listen to what he tells his people. After telling them, you are where I have carried you to be, he tells them in verse 5, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters and wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. God is telling them, once you realize that you are where I want you to be, it will change how you view your surrounding. It will change how you respond to your surrounding. It will change your attitude. It will transform you. You will see things differently. Instead of complaining, you will choose to be grateful. Pray for the city. Pray that it prospers. As a believer, when you get to that point, you have taken a big step in your spiritual life. When you get to a point where you are going through a difficult time, a difficult experience, and instead of complaining, and I'm telling you, complaining is not sinful. It just means you are struggling to understand what's going on. But when you get to a point where you, even though you are going through a very painful experience, and you, through that experience, you can still turn to the Lord, you have made a huge step in your life. And it should be our prayer and our desire that the Lord gets us there. And I'm not saying that I have arrived, guys. I'm not saying that I have arrived. We are in the same boat here. In fact, some of you are doing much better than me. Sometimes I hear testimonies of people and their stories and what they are going through. And I'm looking at them as, how are you surviving this? Some of you are doing much better than me. So I'm not trying to make you think that our pastor is already there. We are the ones now that need to follow him. I'm not there, guys. I cry. You ask my wife, she will tell you things that you don't want to hear about me. So don't ask her. God may use a series of events in our life, both bad and good experiences, to bring us to where he wants us to be. I think it's in 2 Kings chapter 5, and I will be talking about this next Sunday, but there's this girl that was taken captive in Naaman's house, and Naaman had leprosy. And God used that girl to point Naaman to where he could find his healing. Instead of that girl seeing Naaman as an enemy, she had been taken away from her people against her will. Because of her faith in the Lord, she saw her position as an opportunity to glorify God. It changes how we see our world when we realize that we are where God wants us to be. Number two, verse 10 and 11. You look at verse 10, God says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. And then verse 11, he talks about the plan that he has for them. When 70 years are completed, God wants us to wait on him. He wants us to wait on him. The challenge for us is to wait on God to finish what he has started in our lives. That is always the challenge. We know the passage. He will complete what he has started. We know that, right? We've memorized it. We use it to encourage ourselves. God will complete what he has started. Okay, now let's give him the time. If you truly believe that he started something, then let us show it by giving him the time to complete it. He wants his people to know that I am the one who has taken you there, and you are going to wait on me until I finish what I have started with you. 70 years is what it will take. Now, I can hear some of the Israelites saying, God, 70 years sounds good for my grandchildren. Or maybe my children, but not for me. I won't be there in 70 years. What about me, God? But you know, the point here is that You are going to wait for the Lord. And if you choose to wait on the Lord, you will continue to experience what God is doing in your life. You will continue to experience and to enjoy the fellowship, the relationship, and all that God is providing for you, because you are letting Him complete what He has started in your life. The point is not how long will God do this. The point is allowing God to do what He wants to do in His time. He wants His people to wait on Him. If we truly believe that God has a plan for us, then we will give Him time to work out His plan. I think if you are a Christian, if you've known God, then you know that one of the things that you can never escape in your life is waiting on God. The temptation is to try and go ahead of God, like what Abraham did. The temptation is to try and figure out what God wants to do and then go ahead and do it. But God is saying, no, 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 no. It's not going to be your speed. It's going to be My speed. When you go to driving school, for those of you that have gone, and when I went to driving school in Kenya, at first I didn't know that the instructor also had brakes on his side. I didn't know that. And so I'm driving, and you know, I'm excited. Other cars are driving faster, and I want to drive faster. And I'm still learning how to drive. And I remember there were times I would step on, I'm trying to accelerate so I can go faster, and the car stops. And I'm looking at, what am I doing? What is it that I'm doing to stop me? And then I came to realize that I'm not really in control of the car. There was someone else in control, and I needed to learn to listen to Him. And that's what we need to know as Christians. We are not in control of this life. We are not in control of the events of our own lives. We are not. There is someone else in control, and that's the Lord. He is the one that can step on the brakes when He wants to. And we need to learn to listen to Him. Until we get to a point where He is done with us, we are not done. Number three, verse 12 and 14, 12 to 14. He says, then you will call on Me and come and pray to Me, and I will listen to you. You will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Says, you are in exile because I took you there. And you're going to stay for some time. Prepare for a long stay. You will have to wait on Me to finish what I have done. And when you realize that, you are going to rely on me. Number three, God wants us to rely on him. He says, then you will seek me. You will call on me and you will pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you realize that this God has a plan for you. When you realize that you are where he wants you to be. When you realize that he wants you to wait on him, you will call on him. You will rely on him. You will call on him and seek him. You will realize that this God is all that I need. And God wants his people to understand that. Listen, relying on God is not a one-time event. It's not when things are not going well, now let's turn to God, let's rely on him so that he can take us through this. Relying on God is a process. It is a process of growth in a relationship with the Lord. We keep on relying on him. In fact, it's a choice that we need to make every day when you wake up. You have to make a choice that you are going to rely on God that day. Because the temptation is to rely on ourselves. What motivates you to seek the Lord? Are you motivated by what he provides, by what you need, by what he has done in your life? Or are you motivated by the fact that you know that this God, despite everything that is going on, he has a plan for you? I have said this before. Sometimes his plan may mean going home to be with him. Sometimes his plan may mean taking us through that process to the other side. And sometimes the other side may mean being with the Lord. But as a Christian, a child of God, you should take comfort and joy and peace from knowing that God has a plan. And no one will stop him from finishing what he has started. No one will. And therefore, you will call on him. When you realize this, it changes your response to the Lord. You want to call on him. You want to seek him. You want to know him more. There is a lot that we don't. Look, listen. There's a difference between knowing God and knowing about God. We mistake that. We think that having a lot of knowledge is what we need. No, there is growing in that relationship. That's different. I see. In fact, the more you know about God, you just become a pride person. People who know more about God like arguing. People who know God are humble. This is a good test for you. If every time you find yourself trying to criticize what others are saying, what others are doing in their ministry, how they are worshiping, how it's only focusing on the knowledge that you have, not on the relationship that you have with the Lord. When you begin to grow in this relationship, you will realize that this God uses people differently. You will realize that his goal is not to make everyone like you and me. He has his own ways. His ways are not our ways. The more we know him, the more we love him, and the more we want to know him. And we will continue to know him. We will never exhaust him. It should be our desire to seek him even more. I want to know you, Lord. That should be our desire. Stop running to commentaries and reading what they are saying about God, and start focusing on what God has said about himself and growing in that relationship. Knowledge puffs up. Let me finish here. I'm done now. I have seen some eyes that are looking at me saying, "That's enough, Pastor. We got the message." God has a plan. His plan may take time to unfold. It's not because he enjoys seeing his people suffer. It's because his ways are just different. It's not because he doesn't care about what we are going through. It's because he knows that our experiences are temporary. It's not because he's testing our patience, it is because he wants us to trust that he means well. And so when we find ourselves going through those experiences that may not be the best, experiences that may not make sense to us, experiences that we wish we could avoid, experiences that may bring tears to our eyes and to our hearts, let us remind ourselves that God knows what he's doing because he has a plan. And the best thing we can do is turn to him and ask him to help us endure the process, to help us know him more, to help us glorify him through our experiences. And brothers and sisters, let me repeat this. I am not there yet. We are in the same journey here. And therefore, your struggle is my struggle. So don't feel like, oh, I am so behind in my Christian life. No, you are not. There's a reason you are here this morning. There's a reason God wanted you to hear this message this morning. There's a reason you are part of this church family, and we are in this journey together. And we are going to encourage one another in the journey. We are going to remind one another in this journey. We will turn to that brother and to that sister, and we will remind them that God has a plan. So let's hold our hands. Let's take one step of faith together. Let's keep on moving like the Israelites. God knows what he's doing. And he has a way of making a way. Father, I want to thank you again for this moment. I want to thank you for your people. I want to thank you for your love for us, for motivating us to seek you more, to trust you more, to love you more. I thank you for the good plan that you have for us. And Lord, I continue to pray for your people who are going through difficult experiences. I pray for Liz, Lord. I know that you know what is happening in her life. I know that you are in control. But I pray that, Lord, she may see you through this experience. Continue to pray for Olivia, Lord. Together with her husband, as they endure this process, I pray that you may give them the strength and the health that she needs to go through, and that, Father, you may work on her attitude, that she may continue to see you and to rely on you, and to know that, Father, you have gone ahead of her. How I pray that she may hear your message, that she may hear your voice, that you may minister to her in your own way. I thank you, Lord, for Bob as well. We continue to remember him, Lord. Even as he focuses on you and as we hear him showing confidence, we know that deep inside there is a struggle. And only you, Lord, can bring calmness. Only you can instill peace. Only you can provide the healing that is needed. Whichever way you are going to do it, we pray that you may be glorified in the process, that you may be glorified in that process. Whether you're going to use doctors, whichever way you choose to do it, Lord, do it.
Father, I also want to pray for relationships, conflicts that we have here, Lord, that your people are facing. Father, you are the only one who has ways to intervene in those conflicts. How I pray for your wisdom, Lord. How I pray for humility and understanding, Lord, that you may enable your people to look at you, focus on you, and get the wisdom that is needed to answer the questions that they have, to bring healing to their relationships, Lord. I also pray for those of us that have loved ones who don't know you. And Lord, we are crying in our hearts on their behalf. We are calling on you that, Father, you may soften their hearts. We are calling on you that the Holy Spirit may open their eyes, that they may realize that, Lord, you love them and you have a plan for them. And that, Lord, they may turn to you for forgiveness and for salvation. How I pray that, Father, if it pleases you to use us, that you may use us, Lord. And that also through this process, you may be glorified. I pray for each one of us here that is going through a various kind of pain. That, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, you may minister to us in that pain. And that in your own way, you may use us as instruments of your ministry.
to those who are going through pain. I don't know how you do it, Lord, but I know you have a plan. And may you be glorified as your plan unfolds in our lives. In Jesus' name, may everyone say, Amen. Amen.